Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, and joining me in studio, Gigi Belser. Thanks for being here, Gigi.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So I want to explain how I know Gigi. Gigi is an energetic healer in fractal code, an holographic paradigm. I'm going to read this off, Gigi, so I don't mess it up, because honestly, I met you in Reiki class about, almost 20 years ago. We were both getting attuned in Reiki. And Reiki, for those who don't know, listening to this podcast or broadcast, it's energy work where you have certain symbols that you activates the work. And so for me, there's Reiki 1, there's Reiki 2, then there's Reiki 3 and Reiki Master and all this stuff. And so it was really clear that the Reiki class, Gigi was going for gold. I mean, it was like you were in the Masters and we were all in kindergarten.
Well, thank you for that.
It's true. I mean, they would bring in subjects. There was one time when they brought in a subject, and I don't know if you remember this, Gigi. They brought in a woman who had something wrong, and we were supposed to scan the body and just see what we found. And both you and I hovered over her left eye. And I remember that because I remember for me when doing Reiki, if my hands tingle, that means there's a block. And then sometimes I'll see pictures in my third eye and or, you know, whatever. And then I'll put certain colors and then it would break up. But this one was staying tingly. It was like I couldn't get the energy to clear out, but I knew that what I was doing, I think, was possibly helping. And then the teacher told us that that woman had actually eye cancer. And you and I were the only two over the left eye. Everybody else was kind of on different parts of the body. And I thought, oh, I'm not that bad.
No, that's quite good, actually. Yeah.
But then you continued to expand and you've deepened, as you say. You've had a number of deepenings over the years, including advances that allow you to work at the master quantum grid level. So you work with energy healing. You've got the quantum grid. There's alignment in the fractal code. There's the repair of the reconnective therapy. And I just want to know if you can help our listeners understand what all that means.
That's a great question. And it's can be somewhat difficult to articulate when you're talking about going into the holographic pattern and working with the body intelligence versus the actual mind of an individual.
Okay.
The body intelligence holds all the information that is from your soul inception to today.
Okay.
So I go in and access that body intelligence, and it tells me in order of priority what it would like to work on for you. And then I go into my toolkit, and it shows me which particular tool to use.
Mm-hmm.
And then I facilitate that healing connecting to source. It's like a flash of light. Boom, it's done. And it doesn't need to be repeated. It might need to go deeper, mm-hmm. but that particular healing does not need to be repeated. It's done.
So when did you get passionate about this kind of healing work? Because I know even when we were studying Reiki in the late 90s, you were reading about was the White Brotherhood. There were all sorts of different things. You were thirsting for knowledge, absorbing as much as possible, going to workshops. But when did this seed sort of begin for you? When was it planted?
I guess because I'm a seven in my number in numerology, and sevens are all about faith. They cannot live without faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really fascinating. And it's true. So as I got into various modalities, Jinshin, Jiu-Jitsu, reconnective therapy, working with very gifted osteopaths, I became fascinated with how the body works and how the body heals. Our skin is actually moving all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't realize how connected our body is, and that the brain, I consider the hardware, and that software is installed.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that brain, in the mind part, are thought forms. And what happens is, and one of my specialties is that thought forms can become need to be discarded because they have they're no longer useful. So it presents to me in my mind's eye as a Rolodex, sort of like the Apple Rolodex when it goes back in the time machine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just throw out by the side all those thought forms that aren't useful to the individual. And so that removes that energetic from their field. And as a result, it's no longer impinging on their life, if that makes sense. That used thought form that doesn't serve, that may be mm-hmm.
Like a belief system of negativity?
It could be a belief system, mm-hmm. or it could be something that's simply looping.
Yeah.
And that you keep thinking this, and you go, why am I thinking this?
And why do we do that? What are you seeing energetically happening? You're saying that this is just programming in the neurons that we can refire and rewire? Or like you're saying, just dissolve?
Well, basically, you dissolve them back to source.
Okay.
So the thing that you were alluding to earlier of fractal codes and mm-hmm. fractals, so they present to me as, so I can also see the body as a marvelous, beautiful mathematical equation made of fractal codes that present as colors in rectangles. Those can become distorted through a mental hit or emotional hit that's been significant to an individual.
Okay.
And I will rebuild those. And so then that person can come back to wholeness on that level. And feel more grounded and complete, and it'll be a subtle change, and then it will grow into a larger change for them.
So let's talk about the subtle changes that can grow into something really large and meaningful. So for people who are stuck in a loop, mm-hmm. then they choose a vice, right? Could be wine,
yep.
could be an opioid, could be right. food, could be sure. sex, could be shopping, could yep. be bad relationships.
Right.
We keep trying to self-soothe when the reality is if we looked under the hood and did our really heavy lifting, right? Like you say, you're a seven, but some people don't even know what being a seven means.
Sure.
So we have to start where we are. And for anyone who's listening to this, if you don't know what that means, go study numerology. You can figure it out. You can do a quick thing to find out what your number is. But that point that Gigi just said, I want everybody out there who might have a slight bit of skepticism to listen to. This is math. This is mathematics. This is numbers, science, like people who say that the doctors that are out there that tell me that all this research, and there are many of them out there, is a bunch of woo-woo, aren't observing the fractal, the codes that you're saying the bodies are made of, which is math, which is numbers.
That's correct. And I consider source a mathematical equation.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible's written in code.
Mm-hmm.
And this universe is in code. And part of it is to decode.
Mm-hmm.
Those codes that have become corrupted, like the software has become corrupted, so that you break down the code, go through the locks, and rebuild the code. That's another unusual gift that I have, and I don't know how or why I have it, but I do, and I'm able to do that.
When did you discover that you had it?
Over the course of time, when I was actually, say, in meditation, asked to do some unusual things mm-hmm. in the galactic world, and I would go, I don't know. Can right. I do this? And so I would go in, and to my surprise, I could. And I would always check with a peer mm-hmm. that this, in fact, was accomplished, because it was some very woo-woo, unusual things mm-hmm. that were being suggested that I do. And I did. And so over the course of time, that has expanded.
Right.
So I can be in a store, and it will be, stop, you need to open the holographic pattern. This needs work right now.
Something, in the store,
yeah.
right? Put down the milk.
Yeah.
You got to do this.
Yeah. At this moment in time.
Right.
Really, this needs, you know, they're nexus points, mm-hmm. and those nexus points are real,
mm-hmm.
and we can miss nexus points, all of us, throughout our lives, through an intuitive place. You may hear something, and it's a nexus point. I need to go to this particular cocktail party tonight.
Right.
No, I'm too tired. Well, it could be that you were going to meet somebody really marvelous there that the universe had set up, and that you chose not to go, and you missed your nexus point.
How many nexus points do we have? Just many of them throughout
there
our
lives?
There
are many throughout our lives.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like that whole theory, just go out and do it. And that's what I've been told for the last few years. Go to everything you're invited to if you can, physically, other than if there's more than one in one evening.
Right. Well, you can't
you
do
have
that.
Your limits. Yeah. I haven't been able to teleport yet.
There are
but
limits.
But maybe a few more sessions, Gigi, you can get me there.
Well, yeah. I think it's really important that we each pay attention to our intuition. And if we hear a no, honor the no. And when you hear a no, it means no. Back it out.
Yeah.
Back up. Get out of that store. Get out of wherever. Get out of the whatever mm-hmm. it is. When you
and
hear the no, honor it.
This is important for parents out there, too. My kid has told me the no, the hard no, a few times. And sometimes I think it's just his fear getting the best of him. But more times than not, it's his intuition saying no, hard no. And then I wind up, you know, apologizing to him later because I didn't honor his intuitive hit. And that's hard, though, for parents, because we know that sometimes there's fear, and then there's sometimes a real intuitive knowing. And how can we help ourselves discern the difference between the fears that are there from our looping, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fears that come in to our body because of intuition.
Well, that's a really good question. As you develop intuition over the course of time, you're actually grooving a track in the right side of your brain that gets deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And as that deepens, for me, it started out that I would initially see a chalkboard in front of my third eye, and the chalkboard would, you know, sort of present with writing or give me answers. Now, before the sentence is completed, I have the answer. So that is the depth of intuition growing itself in the right side of the brain over time.
Mm-hmm.
There are aspects of the brain that actually have a spiritual home.
Mm-hmm.
And as we develop that, it grows. So that no becomes very clear about, you know, a particular kind of no. And you're asking from the perspective, say, of parenting, where you have a child and toddlers, and young kids are full of no's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's no.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Right.
So, you know, those are two big things. But you're talking about a son that you trust his intuitive side because it's developing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different. And then you know to pay attention to that no.
Right.
It's a different sense about it
mm-hmm.
that you can feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you honor the no. And it may feel that, you know, when you did it and nothing happened, oh, well, nothing happened. But how do you know, number one?
Right, that something was planned to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People all the time talk about, I was going to go to work today and I didn't, and then something happened
mm-hmm.
because I heard stay home.
Right.
Just that kind of thing.
But then, too, for those who are in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, many tragedies recently and over the decades and over the hundreds of years, that happens. Do you believe there is a wrong place or wrong time, that there is a random chaos? Or do you think even that is divine?
I think even that is divine.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have soul contracts and that there is purpose to everything. It can be very, very difficult to have those experiences for yourself or for a family member and need to recognize the teaching of that moment. And if it's fatal, it could be that your contract is complete
mm-hmm.
and it's your way out. I think, you know, when you talk about, for instance, the elderly and they develop, say, cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be that their body, their contract is fulfilled and their body is saying, I'm giving you a way out.
Mm-hmm.
And in this present time, of course, we would all fight it because we think we should be here. But part of evolving spiritually is that ability to die and to meet death and to be comfortable and be present and have your observer as part of your being and willing to cross that threshold when it calls.
And the work that can be done on the other side as well.
Sure.
This side is something that we discount as a society more than other, I think, many other societies. But just even as a species, we discount being there versus being here. Thinking that from an ego standpoint, we can do all the work here and then over there. But really, a lot of work needs to be done over there, too. And if we want to benefit them, we need to, I guess the word being pray or hope or wish or think that they're evolving there, too, as well, to help them.
Yeah, as above, as below. So below. I believe that.
You do.
Uh-huh.
How much of an attachment issue are we having right now in this day and age? I want to talk about that. Like, where somebody literally is acting so different that it could be very well that it's not that they are acting like themselves because they aren't themselves.
Right.
How often is that going on?
A lot.
Okay.
A lot more because the veils are dropping.
Mm-hmm.
When I first discovered this phenomenon, I read a book by a guy named Jerry Lowe, a Chicago healer, and he talked about the fact that each generation is really commanded to do their personal work mm-hmm. and why.
Okay.
Because it builds up in the genetic stream, that energy keeps backing up if we don't clear it. And that actually is true.
Mm-hmm.
The sins of the father passing to the son really is more about the genetic line of those individuals that have not cleared their energy field, and it comes through to each of us through at birth, in my view, in my experience. So
what great-great-great-grandma did could have an effect on me.
Yes.
Okay.
And so one of the things I do in my toolbox is clear that genetic line, and it can be that most lines certainly require multiple clearings. But to your question, there is such a thing as in what I would call the astral world of attachments that can come in through the aura field, that can come in through a slight slip in the aura field, because as we do our personal work, the aura field seals up all those childhood hurts and any impacts that we've had emotionally and mentally as we mature can create a slight line in our aura field and
like a tear or a rip?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And energies can slip in.
So can trauma or addiction or these kinds of things. People say that you can get tears just from having a terrible car accident, like a physical problem too.
Sure, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's where you'd want to get energy work,
yep,
and have that sealed. So I'll give you a quick example. An individual came to me that was in my daughter's class, and she was a writer, and she said, there's a boy in the class that really has, who's been acting out, and he has a look in his eyes that's scary.
Mm.
And I said, okay, let me clear him. And so I did. And 2 weeks later, I asked after him, and she said, his behavior is totally different. It's like a different kid, and he is, and his eyes are clear. So that happens a lot, that change in behavior. There's an influence from these attachments. This is really woo-woo stuff.
But it really happens. In your work, you see this happen, and then you see the results like poof.
Yeah, all the time.
And that's the other thing, and I'll share this story. I went to a haunted house, but not by choice, okay? It was a family getaway. It was a place from the late 1800s. There was stuff going on there. And when I came back, I was on the phone with Gigi, and she was like, where did you go? You brought something back with you. Apparently, something just wanted to rent my shoulder. But the thing that was so weird is that when I came home, my dog wouldn't come near me.
Right.
And that's when I knew something was up, because I couldn't feel a darn thing. I didn't notice anything different, but I did feel, that's not true. Let me give myself a little bit of energetic credit. I didn't feel quite right, but I thought it was just that I was tired because I wasn't sleeping in my bed. And sometimes that happens. If I'm traveling and I'm in a hotel, I feel like, oh, I didn't have my pillow. But really, we're actually picking up on the energy of the people that were in that bed before us.
That can happen.
Yeah.
And dogs are particularly sensitive. My dogs wouldn't go around the corner for about a week. And so then I realized that there was a significant dark cloud over this part of Chicago where I live, near the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And I cleared it back through the holographic pattern from when it came. Mm-hmm. And it was actually delighted it didn't want to be here, how it slipped.
It was
through.
Lost. Yes. It needed a GPS, and Gigi was like, let me tell you, three doors down, take a left, and it's out.
Well, as crazy as that sounds,
yeah.
I mean, it really sounds crazy. That's exactly what happened. And then my dogs would go around the corner, so right. I knew it was gone. But it's wild. And right. The same thing happens when people transition and they don't believe in life after death. Mm-hmm. They can be stuck here. And that's what we call ghost.
Right.
And so they, you know, sometimes they actually don't realize they're dead.
Right.
And so the way to, when I first started out this work, and this is back to that crazy woo-woo, and I'm going, wow, oh man, this is all coming at once, and this is really sort of, am I okay? they know who has these Rolodexes.
Right.
So they would come for clearing. And so then I realized this is also part of Jerry Lowe's book, to call in their loved ones and have them come down and bring them up into the light, that it would be safe and they would go. So I'll give you a brief experience. I was in France once and in a B&B in southern France, and it was a land where there'd been a lot of war.
Mm-hmm.
I was still doing this particular type of work. And these soldiers started coming over the hill in droves. And I said, guys, I'm on vacation. So 15 minutes, all of you that can go up, great, let's go. And then the Rolodex is closed, and that's exactly
what
happened.
There's a group discount today. You're lucky. I'm working on Burgundy.
Yeah, right.
Beaujolais for everyone. Yeah. Okay, so go on.
And then it was done. So, and
I'm on vacation.
So I really don't do that to that level anymore. Right. Just occasionally that will happen.
But how beneficial would it be to take someone such as yourself, and I'm gathering there are probably other people around the globe, maybe a handful that are at this level, or maybe not. How many of there are there out there like you, would you say? It'd be beneficial to take you all around the globe and help get those transitioned over to the other side and help with those dark clouds that are lost and need a new GPS, because the vibrations are very, very treacherous right now. We need all the light we can get.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And so I can't really respond to that question. I know that there aren't many people, very few, who can do the fractal code work at that level. There are quite a few people who can transition what we would call ghost or spirits up.
Right.
But the other levels of work, working galactically, they're not a whole lot of people that do that at this point in time.
How important is it to have, like you say, you checked with a colleague, how important is it to have that soundboard of another healer, another practitioner, another energy worker to bounce ideas off of? So many people isolate themselves. Right?
And I think that's tricky, and I think it's dangerous. First of all, you want to be sure that there are no loose threads that you missed.
Okay. You mean with who you align with?
No, in my work.
Oh, I gotcha.
So that I didn't miss something.
And I see.
I would never assume, I mean, one should have humility that that you're not walking on water doing this work, that you are using your capacity.
Right.
And that there are things that you missed, and there are healers who come in through different doors. So there is work that I will call on another healer. There, I have a two or three that peers that who are good, and I would say, you know, this requires two of us. This is complicated work. I will go in and do this. You need to watch my back.
Right.
And because I need to come out and not be stuck in this particular aspect of the galactic pattern. And that's happened to me where I may have left part of my energy there and I didn't realize it. So I have to pull it back out. I can feel it when that happens, but I'm not necessarily quite sure that that was that event.
Got it. And then what about, who's your mentor? Do you have a mentor? Who's above you, Gigi? Good grief.
I don't at this moment in time.
But over time, you probably have had different
people. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Different books on the nightstand. We've talked about David Hawkins, a very important work,
right.
Power versus Force.
Right.
For anyone out there listening, if you haven't gotten it, that's a wonderful, I think, important read.
I think Dr. Hawkins, when he was alive and had workshops, he would have 1,000 people in Chicago, and he was knighted for his body of work and received any number of awards. He's written about 6 books, and what I loved about what he did was he used a format called applied kinesiology, accessing one's electrical system.
Did I say David Hawkins? I meant Stephen Hawkins.
David.
No, it is David. Okay, I thought you said Stephen there for a second.
I may have. I'm sorry.
Okay, but David Hawkins, we're talking about Power versus Force.
Yep.
Okay, got it. Making sure. Okay.
Yep. Apologize.
No, it's okay. They're both brilliant, so I just wanted to make sure I was tracking with the right one.
Yeah. Me too.
Okay.
Good idea. So he had ascertained Avatar being a level of 1,000 and the break point between heart and intelligence at 500, and then the break point between light and dark at 200. And what he found was I think it's a great mathematical tool for the mind to appreciate and understand. So the essence of what he found is that so few people vibrate in heart. And heart comes to us, I learned. We don't go to heart frequency. It's a very high frequency. It's the frequency of saints and avatars above 500. Anybody who resonates over 500 covers off on hundreds of thousands of people who this may not be their lifetime to do that level of personal work. So, unfortunately, the majority of the planet is resonating below 200.
And the number system, by the way, Dr. Hawkins came up with through muscle testing and kinesiology, where he tested people for different I would say, how different emotions affected their physical strength with how do you explain muscle testing? It's kind of a difficult thing to do over the radio, but
right.
it's you're, easier with a visual, but you're basically testing the body's ability to hold a certain pose
right.
through the strength. And if you're thinking a loving thought of someone you absolutely adore and love, your hold will be very, very strong. But if you're thinking about shame or apathy or all sorts of lower vibration things, right?
It'll break. Our sugar will break it.
Sugar will break it. Chemicals will break it.
Right.
You know, sweet and low will break it. So it's a really interesting system. And he tested thousands and thousands of people to come up with this number system that he puts in the book.
Right.
And 500 is love. And I say to people, get to love and above, people, and we're fine. But some of us can't even get to pride, which is at about 40 or something.
Well, the really interesting thing, I think, and I think it's important for Americans to understand this, that the U.S. vibrates at the highest level in the world. And that it means that we have a responsibility to the rest of the world. And unfortunately, in the last period of time, we've been abdicating that responsibility for any number of agendas and political reasons. And we could go lots of places with that conversation that are very disturbing. And so what forces are trying to disrupt this country? And I don't necessarily want to go into the political arena, but there appear to be forces that are trying to tear this country down as we have this obligation.
Otherworldly forces, you're talking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some present as human, certainly. And we have this obligation to be the light for the rest of the world.
Right.
And we need to really get back there. It's really important that we do. And and when he died, he that I think was his major concern.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other countries who are advancing quickly, and that will be interesting because we are now going to have some peers throughout the world as the United States, and that's part of the transition we're finding ourselves in now.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't think is necessarily quite understood. As we're going through this probably every 2,400-year period of advancement that we're in right now.
How much do you believe in what's going on astrologically has an impact? I was listening to an interesting lecture by Robert Ojato, who does a lot of work on astrological planetary alignment and how that grid is set, and it has an impact on what happens here, right, with us. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that to be so?
I do, but I'm not educated enough about astrology. I love having my chart done.
Sure.
And I believe in it.
Yeah.
But I can't really speak to it.
Got it. No, but that's interesting to know because apparently there's something going on even planetarily when the Me Too movement started that was something with Jupiter, Scorpio. I can't remember because, again, like you, I like to have my chart done every once in a while, but I couldn't begin to tell you what Jupiter in retrograde means.
Right. Jupiter return. I have no idea either, but it was there.
It was there. And so apparently something with the planetary alignment had something to do with the speaking up and all this Me Too speaking up about, you know, that energy behind kind of exposing what was going on for so long that was not okay, but finally coming to a head. And I want to ask you just from an energetic standpoint. I remember when I had a conversation with Deepak Chopra, and he said this to me, and I'll never forget it. He said, the universe doesn't know right or wrong. It just knows the energy between hate and love.
Correct.
So you can stand there Me Too-ing all you want, but if you're vomiting out more hate, you're just adding to the hate of the soup.
Yes.
You're combining more hate into the stew. Even if you think you're right, you're still putting out toxic sludge.
Yes, which is why I have problems with these movements.
Yes.
And I think that everybody needs to rethink actually what they're doing out there.
Okay.
Because that is the energy that's being created.
And it
bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
I get women wanting to stand up for themselves and saying, look, this has been going on. We all know it's been going on.
Right.
All of us who've worked.
Yes.
This is not new. Mm-hmm. But the question is, in one regard, did it take this for you to come forward?
Mm-hmm.
And then was the other, why weren't men listening?
Right.
And so that's a whole nother issue and a whole nother problem. Mm-hmm. But to come out in this way, I think, is tricky. very tricky, because I think you're right. It's a point well taken.
Okay. So then for those who are listening, if they want to try not to make more in the hate soup, but they want to stand for what they believe in. You know, I liken it to a Gandhi or a Martin Luther King, where they stood for what they believed in, but they weren't holding weapons and jamming it in people's faces. It was that energy of pride, but not a pride because that's not, but of a knowing, I should say, a knowing of their truth, a knowing of the love that they were speaking for, and a knowing of what they believed in masses. So what can people who are listening do if they are finding themselves mad, right? And they want to be heard, then they want to go march. But how can they hold the vibration of justice in their action, in their activism?
Good question. So, I would have to respond that the most important thing that anybody and everybody can do is their personal work. Mm-hmm. Because through personal work over the course of time comes clarity.
Yeah.
And with clarity, that anger and pride and all of those adjectives that resonate below light have a very difficult time finding it themselves in your personal space.
Right.
And then you come to the space where you gain an observer, where you're entirely conscious of everything you're saying and everything going on around you. And is that what you want to put out? Because mm-hmm. words become very important. And so we have to be careful about the energy behind our words mm-hmm. and what we mean. And so, and also, I think behind your question is, how do we empower ourselves, particularly as women? So this goes into another subject, which it occurred to me some years ago when I was invited to France to be part of a Magdalene experience, that the Magdalene energy has come down.
This is Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene,
yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to teach women and men, because we must both hold the divine masculine and divine feminine within, the power of the divine feminine. Mm-hmm. Now, I grew up always thinking and admiring the masculine. Mm-hmm. If I could only emulate that in business, which I did quite well, mm-hmm. Then I would be successful, mm-hmm. and I was. And so I rejected the feminine, actually within me and without, mm-hmm. until I really discovered that the feminine is so much more powerful than the masculine. Mm-hmm. When we learn the power of that force and what it really means and understand it. So for women, it's expressing themselves not as men do in the business world, but for themselves, coming into their own power with clarity. Mm-hmm. This works for me. This doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. No, I won't. No is a complete sentence. Mm-hmm. And R, yes, I will. And I don't think you can know a yet, what answer with a yes mm-hmm. until you understand a no. Mm-hmm. And most women don't know how to say no.
So that brings me to a question about sexuality. There is this movement now I'm finding out. I have a much younger sister, and she will share some stories, and some of the stories that I hear about the millennials is, and she's in a very happy relationship, but there are a lot of millennials that are very promiscuous, and they're seeing this as a very powerful, and that's a broad statement I just made. I'm sure I'm going to get some hate emails, but what I'm saying is the whole, I can do what I want, it's empowering to sleep around. It's empowering to give that guy oral sex. It's empowering to me. I can do whatever I want, and there is no repercussion to this because I am in my power, I'm in my body, and I am doing whatever I want without judgment. But that's actually very disempowering energetically, isn't it?
It is, and it's an unusual reason why.
Okay, tell me.
So, at the point of orgasm, there are two snakes that actually come up the spine, wrap up each side of the spine. And then at that very moment, mana comes out into the brain. And it's a form of power. Mm-hmm. And so what women are doing is actually giving away that power to the masculine instead of holding it within and learning how to incorporate it with their being. So one of the things that's happening in the inner worlds, if I can put this correctly and explain it, is we have a culture that is inundated with sexuality. Mm-hmm. And part of that is a grab by the dark side for mm-hmm. that power that manifests through the sexual act. And I think if people realized it and looked at it, men and women, mm-hmm. from that perspective, they'd be more conscious about who they have sex with, how often they have sex, and what am I doing here? Am I giving away that power that really is meant to be for me?
So you're saying the man is empowered every time they have sex, but the woman is depleted?
No.
The man can be depleted as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, got
yeah.
it. Because in that first example, it was that the woman doesn't get the power from the manna that goes into the brain the way the man does.
Well, you both do.
Okay. You both get that.
Yeah, you both, and you're mm-hmm. correct. Thank you for ironing that out. But,
okay.
So you both do, and so for men, I have a lot of men clients, some men clients in their 40s, and men, just how they're built, mm-hmm. every third sentence is about sex. And so when I explain this phenomenon to them, they actually become more thoughtful about their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's the imprint energetically that they leave on each other, men and women, after an exchange? I mean, someone's energy can still be lingering within you.
For sure.
Either male or female, long after the act.
Absolutely.
So when you're with someone who was just with someone, and you feel that? You
right.
feel that.
Right. You've just exchanged energies with
right.
somebody that you don't
you
know.
You slept with more people than you bargained for.
Right.
I mean, there's some truth to that, you're
yes.
saying,
yes,
energetically.
Yeah, energetically there is.
So we could choose to be more
thoughtful.
Yeah.
Careful.
And how we
And how we engage.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the benefit of that is actually more magnificent than any of the other kind of intermingles, isn't it? You're saying that once you have that kind of conscious, I don't want to say conscious coupling because then I think of Gwyneth Paltrow, but once you have that conscious, because they're conscious uncoupling, but whatever, a conscious coupling can be that much more magnified because of the energetic connection if done without any of the other sludge we're talking about.
Right. When it's done with love, then it's a whole different thing. That's how it's meant to be.
Right.
Yeah.
That is how it's meant to be.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like, okay, guys, we're not going back into the archaic times of saying that you can only have sex with love or marriage, but really...
No, we're not. Absolutely not.
No.
It's just to be conscious mm-hmm. of who your partner is mm-hmm. and what your intentions are.
Right.
And then what happens with that power, because you are discharging power.
Right. So many think that it's just charging them up. Like, oh, yeah, well, I'll show them. I'm going to go sleep with this guy. And then... you feel awful afterwards, or, you know, you're seeing people just make really poor choices, which lowers the self-esteem even more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I want to help empower our listeners to build up their self-esteem, like you say, work on themselves, right? The self-love first, because so many people are tribing, right? They're just running to find a tribe. Oh, I'll join this cause. Oh, I'll click on this Facebook page and like this. Instead of being an individual stronger together, right? A group of individuals who've really worked on themselves can move mountains. And that's what I feel like we're missing a lot of.
It's important. Well, tribes are important because we identify with tribes, and I mm-hmm. think that they all serve a purpose.
Yeah.
And then there's a time to leave a tribe when you've gotten from that tribe what you need. And that also speaks to family tribes. So just because you were born into a particular family doesn't mean that you need to stay with them the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was your original soul commitment and you're learning, but you may have grown out of it
mm.
or it doesn't fit.
Right.
So it should be perfectly acceptable to make those decisions. And in personal growth, we really want to move beyond the tribe experience to become a self-actuating individual.
Okay. How important is it to clean your space at home, like with sage or with all the, you know, I've talked a lot on this program about that and the importance of keeping a clean space, in the sense if you have a lot of toxic people in your home and then they leave, some of that sludge is left behind. What are your tools to clean a space?
Well, I ask that before people enter my space that they drop all their emotional and mental baggage outside the door mm-hmm. and then pick it up on the way back out.
Do you say this to their face or
no.
telepathically?
No, it's a matter of course.
okay.
in my personal space. And mm-hmm. so the vibration remains high. I'm also careful about the music I listen to, and I rarely, if ever, turn on television.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather get my shows, I don't listen to those kind of shows, but if I listen to PBS, I'd rather get it through a computer.
Okay.
I will sage, and I also play very high vibrational, what I consider high vibrational music, like Dante's Prayer. I may loop 24/7. Mm-hmm. Gayatri Mantra, I may loop 24/7 if I feel something's up
mm-hmm.
that I need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
As one progresses in time, the art of meditation becomes that you're meditating 24/7 mm-hmm. so that you don't need to actually sit down and meditate. You're one with Source and you're one with Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that carries with you in your presence.
Right. So for anyone out there who's looking for a new spiritual practice, just start with a simple meditation and changing the music in your home. That's a great tip. In fact, I just got one of those wireless speakers that I can hook up, and I'll just say, you know, Alexa, play classical music.
Right.
And boom, you know, Mozart's piping right through it, and that just feels good. I've noticed, interestingly, my plants look better. Because, I mean, this is true. I'm pretty much playing classical music all the time for when I write. It's always been my muse for some reason. Does that mean I've had a lifetime during that era? Although everything's happening simultaneously. So does that mean there's a version of me right now in Mozart's era?
It could be, Jen.
Was he my neighbor or something?
Yeah, no. Well, it's high, very high. Bach is very high vibrationally.
Bach. Okay.
You know, it's wonderful. So it really does raise that energy of your space. And then these energies that we were discussing earlier mm-hmm. don't like to be in it. They'll leave.
They will leave when you play Bach.
Yeah. So when you keep that, you know, looping, if you feel something's the energy's discordant in your space, you just mm-hmm. keep it looping on a low volume 24/7. I've done that many times.
And to your point also that those energies don't like the high vibration, I went to a Joe Ray session, which mm-hmm. is another energy kind of healing.
Right, right.
And it's like Pure God's Light, hails out of Japan, 1935, spelled J-O-H-R-E-I for those who are curious. But there's a center on the north side of Chicago, and I went and I brought my son along. And the first time I brought my son, I said, honey, we're going for some meditation. He's like, oh, okay. He knows that term. He's cool with it. So we get there, and there's some Joe Ray practitioners that sit across from you while you meditate. 15 minutes on one side, you flip over, 15 minutes the other side. I say, honey, they're going to flip you over like a grilled cheese, get you on both sides, you'll be fine. But the first time he did it, he was just in the zone, Gigi. He was fine. The second time we went, he was fidgety. He was, you know, he couldn't sit still. And one of the practitioners said that they thought that there was some negative energy around, you know, that didn't want to leave. There was a renter that didn't want to be shifted out. And the high energy vibration of the Joe Ray energy just was trying to clean everybody. It's like going through the car wash.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a dirty car that didn't want to be cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are meditating, people, if you're out there, you're doing something and it feels uncomfortable, sit with it. Because that just means there's something hanging on that doesn't want to go.
Well, you can also command that it leaves.
And that's the other thing.
You don't ask. You command. You command. Absolutely
command. That any energy that's not for my highest good be gone.
Yeah, leave my space.
Leave my space.
Right.
What's another good command that you, or any of best practices that you do when you go to sleep, and a best practice when you do to start your day?
Well, you could command that you not go into the lower worlds in dream state.
Okay.
If you wake up with nightmares, then you've entered the lower worlds in dream state. So you want to shake out of that, and mm-hmm. then you command that your inner body not do that.
Okay.
That you stay in the light during sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do the same thing when you wake up. If that feels right to you, I command that my body be in full light and that I be connected to Source and that my guides be fully integrated and work together as a team to my highest good. You may also at some point have to replace members of your high self team. I've had to replace members of my high self team as I evolve and change. They may no longer be what I need.
So do they just quit or we fire them?
No, no, I fire them. It's more like you fire them. So you just suggest that.
Leo, you're not pulling your weight. I think it's time for a new person. Or Leo, you've passed, you've mastered it, straight
right.
A's.
Right.
Time to move on to the next subject.
Yeah. Yeah, and occasionally a client may need their high self team integrated and adjusted and new members to come in.
How's my high self team doing?
Fine. I don't think we've ever done that.
We haven't.
Yeah, no.
Okay, we'll save that for a later date.
Yeah. No, I don't think you've ever needed that. I mean, it would come up. It just comes in as a, oh, this needs to be done.
And how many do we have in our higher self team?
No, generally 5 to 7.
Okay.
Yeah, quite a few.
Usually
and they,
5 to 7.
And they've been with us. Many, many incarnations.
Mm-hmm.
So as we take the soul steps, you know, it's not unreasonable that you would need a new high self team member.
Right.
One would. Yeah.
I mean, the guys I have probably all drive stick shift. Now they got to go to the Tesla.
Well, it could be. It could be.
Well, it's always excellent talking to you, Gigi, and thank you for the work that you do. And also, so listeners know this, you work over the phone. There
right.
is no need to be in person because, vibrationally speaking, there is no time or space. You know,
correct.
We can be anywhere.
Yes.
So you can zone in on somebody's energy and do the work, and it can be that easy.
We have a logos. We each have a logos and a holographic pattern, so it's very easy to find.
Okay.
And that's how I do it.
GigiBelser.com is spelled GigiBelser.com. Anything from stuck to expanding consciousness to, I've even reached out to you with stuff with my son. I've reached out to you with stuff, career, personal, you name it. I know some people who've reached out to you for addiction work. There's a lot that you bring to the table, and I'm really grateful for all of it. So thanks for the conversation today.
Thank you for having me, Jen. It was my pleasure.
I'm Jennifer Weigel. You can find me at jenweigel.com. That's JenweigelL.com. Everybody out there, stay in touch with both of us. Stay spiritual, damn it. And we'll talk to you next time.